Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to having you join in this dialogue and discussion as we talk about a very serious issue today, integrity in our elections. Is this election based on integrity? Do we find integrity in the election? What is integrity? How should we view it? Does it comply with what is called biblical theological integrity? Is it what we would call God's election guide? Does it fit into that category? We'll talk about that on this broadcast today, and I pray that you'll join in. If you want to join in the dialogue, the discussion, you can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, your suggestions, your insight. As someone used the term, putting your 2 cents worth in. We'd love to hear from you today. Looking forward to it. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, I don't believe there's a better format to operate on. I don't believe there's a better focus than to find that what we say, what we talk about, and what we deal with in the issues that we discuss on the air is to be based on nothing more, nothing less than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I find it antithetical with biblical truth to make a decision on political dogma, some political ideology, or some denominational dogma or ideological bent, but simply base our discussion and our decision on a biblical foundation. I don't believe there's a better foundation that we can build our lives on than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I commend the book to you. I call it the truth book. It's the truth of the Word of God. In John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And further, he delineates that by saying in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to make the decision for us on how we vote, what we do, how we respond to what is said. In fact, it should be the very focal point on how we ascertain what's being said on the socialist, Marxist, communist network news. President Trump calls fake news, that it is. How do you differentiate between fake news and real news? It is by the wisdom of God. And God's wisdom, the Bible says in James 1:5, is not earthly, sensual, or demonic. It is wisdom from on high. What does wisdom mean? Wisdom, according to the Word of God, is that God-given ability to take the understanding and the knowledge that He gives us and know what to do with it and how to respond to it. And that's the reason, as Christians in particular, we need to vote. Let me implore you once again to vote. Back in 2016, 31 million Christians did not vote. Now, I understand that we have a greater number than that that's voting or that shall vote during this election cycle. I am encouraged by the fact that Christians are recognizing that we have two worldviews in the balance, and it's which worldview that wins the election that makes the determination on the morals and ethics and the values and the upholding of our Bill of Rights and the religious liberties that we have to keep our churches open in America, albeit we have some several thousand churches that are still closed, some remaining closed because pastors hadn't come out from under the bed or out of the closet and grown a spine, biblical, theological, spiritual spine, to stand up and open their church doors, then there are those that are still being forced to be closed by the governments, like in California and Washington and some other states across America today that still trying to enforce that. Cuomo and the leadership in the state of New York and Pennsylvania and Kentucky and those areas where there's still a feel by the governors and the mayors that they are all authoritative and that they can defy the courts and keep on forcing the churches to remain closed. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that it's all based on a biblical fact called truth. It is truth that we need to depend upon. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, is the centrality of where we are today and what we're faced with in this election. Now, I don't know how to place it any more serious in the vein of thought than to say that this election is the point of demarcation for the direction that our nation will take for the next 50, 100 years, if not for the entire duration of the life of America. And the only reason I can use those numbers and figures and statement is it is, of course, hypothetical because we do not know when the rapture of the church is going to take place. That could be at any moment. Once the rapture of the church takes place, then the Antichrist steps on the scene, the man of sin, the lawless one, the Bible calls him. He will rule a global governance with an iron fist, and it shall be a one-world government. But, ladies and gentlemen, we still have the responsibility as Christians, as salt and light, to try to stave off that as long as is humanly possible. We need to recognize that truth is needed in the hearts and the lives of each one that I'm speaking to today. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian that said, his name is John Huss. John said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that's speaking to us today. That's speaking to each one that's under the sound of my voice today. If you're listening today, we need to take that very seriously, and that needs to be the mantra, the modus operandi, the mindset, the mandate of our hearts and lives as we serve the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. We need to be salt and light. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power. They can answer all of your questions about professional lawn care equipment as well as the homeowner's lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Some have asked, well, where do you find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic U.S. flag flowing at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Old Glory flowing there on about 165-foot flagpole. Old Glory, the U.S. flag flying there at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any more important subject to talk about than the election. In fact, let me make mention of this at this juncture, lest I forget it. I'll have the privilege of speaking tomorrow evening at the 6:30 at the St. Augustine Tea Party. They're going to be meeting at the world-famous Oasis Restaurant at 4000 A1A South. That's at St. Augustine Beach. I'll be speaking to that audience there, and I'm sure that it's an open invitation for those to visit and be involved in the St. Augustine Tea Party meeting tomorrow afternoon at 6:30 at the world-famous Oasis Restaurant, 4000 A1A South, St. Augustine Beach. Love to have you. We've met multitudes of you on the air. We'd love to meet you tomorrow evening as I do an address, and we're talking about the election. I'm talking about the God's biblical election guide. And with that, we'll be talking about the two worldviews and the fact that we're in the midst of a political revolution. And so I invite you to come and join in the dialogue and discussion there. We'll have a number of our books available for those that have not seen or read or purchased any of the books. So let me encourage you to be available if you have the time, and that's in your schedule and agenda where you can. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. That call-in telephone number is 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. It was Joe Biden, ladies and gentlemen, that said, and listen, I'm quoting you, Joe Biden said that we need integrity in this election. Yes, it is. He says it's a personal integrity that counts in this election. Ladies and gentlemen, I just say, wow. Joe Biden saying that we need integrity in the election. And by the way, you can Google that. And when you go to Google, it has that as the headline. Joe Biden says we need integrity in the election. And he has touched on that in, on two or three occasions during the course of the two debates that were had between Joe Biden and President Donald J. Trump. And he makes that statement. But ladies and gentlemen, what does integrity mean to Joe Biden? What is integrity? Does he have a an idea at all? Webster's Dictionary says, ladies and gentlemen, integrity means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, end quote. Hear me. Joe Biden says we need integrity in this election. And I watched as he was saying that, and he taps himself on the chest. He said, I'm talking about personal integrity. I'm talking about integrity from the candidates. We need integrity in this election. And yet the dictionary says that integrity means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. One writer said, and I quote, one writer said, Joe Biden has no integrity. This article was written October the 15th of 2020. And this writer says, being an independent voter, I figure I have the best of two worlds when it comes to political parties. I can make an assessment of who is who I like, not having to blindly support a party with no concepts of right or wrong, which brings me to the presidential debates between Donald J. Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. For the past few years, I have watched Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Representative Adam Schiff, and Representative Jerry Nadler make up one lie after another trying to berate and destroy Donald J. Trump, all because of the disdainful Hillary Clinton, who lied and cheated trying to win the election to become president. Both lost, he said. Now, I've watched another philosophical liar, Joe Biden, continue with an onslaught of lies using the same old ploy, thinking the American people have no concept of honesty or integrity. Joe Biden has no integrity at all, he says. So, ladies and gentlemen, that sets the pace, that sets the stage, that sets the table of what we want to talk about today in relationship to integrity in the election, question mark. I believe we have Jose on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Hey, brother.
Good God to bless hear you. Thank you for calling.
Hey, brother. I'm in this belief that this is happening in America. You got the social media. Remember when Obama was elected the second time around? The second day, I believe, Obama invited all these people from social media for a meeting, secret meeting, in the White House. And I wondered, what were they talking about? I think we see the what happened in that meeting. They are acting like dictators and communists because they don't want to let you express your views. They, you know, they just block you, or they just put you in the social media prison for 30 or 40 days. That's what they've been doing. And the most hypocritical thing that gets me is these same people from the social media here in America that is banning the conservatives are the same ones that turn over the dissidents in China, that they were criticizing and making Christian comments online, which is against the government policies. But when the government asks Facebook, Twitter, and all those social media from America, they right away turn them over. So that tells you their mentality and what they really want in their heart. They are socialist communists. The only difference is they cannot express it, you know, full power in America. But you see what they're doing. They silence it. I thought in America you can argue in the round of ideas, you know what I mean, and let the public decide. No, they ban you. They silence you. They call you a hater, or they just don't want to hear the truth. That's an American. That's it. A really in a totalitarian communist mindset, not an American, which is...
Absolutely. Jose, in fact, you're exactly right, because I had an article in my hands. I don't have it before me now, but there's an article that I have just read this morning that says the Silicon Valley is controlled by, operated and controlled by, the communist Chinese government. And that is partly because they have bought into, and by way of control and by way of molds, communist Chinese molds that have been put into all of the social media platforms and agenda. And they have a one world global governance mindset, and that is to silence anything, anybody, anything that is said on social media that will go against their mindset and goal of a global governance. And that is the focus for the Joe Biden administration, that we will bring into light a globalist, socialist governmental system, and that is exactly what they're wanting. So they're silencing everything that is called conservative.
Right. Deep in the heart, that's what they really envision for America, believe it or not. And for the life of me, I don't get it, because they are billionaires due to capitalism. So I don't see why. I mean, this is this worked out mindset. They are so brainwashed. You know what I mean? Because remember when the killer in Orlando, in the home, that the government had to sue Facebook to release the files in that phone and in his laptop to see the connection that he had. Remember that? They had to go to court. The FBI had to go after them. They had to sue him. And I don't know if they finally released him. But they didn't do the same with the Chinese communist government when the Chinese government asked him to turn over the people that were publicizing Bible verses and talking against the communist government. They didn't have to go to court. They willingly released them. Like they are aligned with the government. That's what gets me. These people are enemies within, brother. I'm sorry, but that's the way I see it. Have a blessed day.
Jose, thank you so much. You're exactly right. They're enemies within the camp, and it's because for some 50 years or better, we've allowed the Socialist Communist Party to put molds in our colleges and our universities by way of investing hundreds of millions of dollars in our colleges and universities, setting up full departments of studies for global governance and for the Communist Socialist Marxist Democratic Party to have their professors to brainwash our students, and we're reaping the fruits now of that. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I think we need laws with teeth or consequences for deliberate deception in journalism, and these stories with anonymous sources should not be allowed. We need laws for slander and character defamation. It's just the outright deception and lying right now in the journalism and the main media.
Well, Joseph, the thing that is so horrifying to me and is beyond the average individual's understanding, we have laws that protect us from that. In fact, one of the things they're talking about now, and President Trump will, I'm sure, enact that. Some of those in the Senate have already started the process of removing Section 230, which gives the protection to the social media, just as the newspapers have had as being publishers and news gatherers. But neither of them, either social media nor the normal, if you would call it normal, news media, neither of them have any integrity today, and all of them, social media as well as all of the television and radio media, are in the hands and the palm of the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. They simply become an arm of the Communist Marxist Socialist Democratic Party. As a result of that, I believe that we're watching, you know, in Russia it is called Pravda. The news media is called Pravda. Pravda in Russian means truth. And so from the standpoint of American role in the media, they are claiming to present the truth, and it's the farthest thing from that. In fact, I'm looking at an article here that says, Joe Biden says the Democrats have created the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in American history. Now, that's being admitted by Joe Biden. Joseph, you're exactly right. We need to have teeth in it. But the sad thing is we can talk about these issues. We can, if you want to use the term, we can bellyache about them. But the problem that is heartbreaking to me is to see that even the so-called conservatives, the Republicans in the House and the Senate, they'll talk about it, they'll bellyache, and for about a 24-hour news cycle, it's the top of the news of what we need to do. They do zip, zero, not a nothing. And the only reason that is because they're on the payroll also doing the same thing that the Democrats are doing and just not wanting to admit it to the public, to general public to know it. Where both sides, both camps, in the same way, in the same position, with the handout for all of those that are buying power, buying influence in Washington. Why do you think a senator or a congressman, and one that's in the House, either of them, House or the Senate, can go into office and $175,000, $200,000 a year, and in a couple of years' time, one election cycle, they're worth several million dollars? How is that possible? Because of the lobbyists that are paying them for votes, paying them to sway and to bend and to accept their philosophies, and to do so behind the closed doors. We have a lot of rhinos today. The reason President Trump was not able to do anything when the first 2 years of his administration, he had the House, the Senate, and the executive office, and yet nothing was done, nothing was accomplished that we're still bellyaching about today as conservatives, as Republicans. They did nothing when they had the opportunity to do so, and it's simply because they had to have the hand in the till, the same as Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. Joseph, you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your insight, for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about integrity in our election, question mark. Let me read further this article where it says Joe Biden says the Democrats created the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in American history. Dateline, October the 24th. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden recently bragged that the Democrats have created the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics. Quote, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for us, for our administration, President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics, he said. Biden's bizarre comments quickly spread on social media Saturday, with many claiming Biden was admitting to voter fraud. What a terrible thing for Biden to say, President Donald J. Trump posted on Instagram. A rigged election, question mark. The White House Press Secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, shared the clip on Twitter saying, Biden admits to voter fraud. And the article goes for about three more pages. That's the essence of it, where Biden is dumb enough, stupid enough, ignorant enough, cognitively slow enough that he's willing to admit that, just like on public statements he admitted that they had forced the Ukrainian government to stop the Ukrainian or Russian government, whichever it was, to stop the investigation of Hunter Biden's organization, and or they wouldn't get the $1 billion. And he said just 6 hours later, bingo, that wasn't his words, mine, all of a sudden they decided to fire the investigator. That's because of the fraud that is taking place. That's because of selling America that is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, as one writer had said, and I quoted earlier, Joe Biden has no integrity. In fact, Biden brags about his Democratic Party having the extensive, he uses the term, extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the United States history. Now, does he call that integrity? Yet Biden says he is fighting for the soul of America. What America is he fighting for? What soul of America is he clamoring for? What does he mean he's fighting for the soul of America? Here's an article that makes that statement. Biden says he's fighting for the soul of America. What does that mean? What exactly is the soul of this nation? What is the state of it, and what would it mean to save it? This writer says, dated October the 20th, 2020. It is a phrase that has been constantly invoked by the Democratic leaders. It has become the clearest symbol of the mood of the country and what people feel is at stake in November. Everyone, it seems, is fighting for it. Quote, this campaign isn't about winning votes. It's about winning the hearts and, yes, the soul of America, Joe Biden said in August at the Democratic National Convention, not long after the phrase battle for the soul of America appeared at the top of the campaign's website right next to his name. Further in the article, it states that the election has become a referendum on the soul of the nation, suggests that in an increasingly secular country, voting has become a reflection, listen, a reflection of an individual's morality, and that the outcome hinges in part on spiritual and philosophical questions that transcends politics. What exactly is the soul of a nation? What is the state of it, and what does it mean to save it? And this writer goes on with extensive verbosity in talking about what it means and how it would mean to save the soul of America. But ladies and gentlemen, it is talking about our foundations. In fact, in Psalms 11 and in verse 3, the scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're talking about the foundation, the very foundation of our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, you can argue and debate and remonstrate if you like about whether or not our founding fathers were Christians or not. They were God-fearers for the most part. I would call them Christians. And as a result of that, everything that we find in our founding documents, ladies and gentlemen, were fountain-headed right from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God called the Bible. All of our laws today, in some fashion, go back to the Ten Commandments. All that we find in the formation of our government goes back to what the Bible says in relationship to government, starting in Genesis, the 9th chapter and following, and talking about our government, what God has done in giving us government. In Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 and following, it talks about government and what government has done in relationship to America. And government, first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible, is supposed to be based on the Word of God. Government is designed for man to have the privilege and the freedom of operating in a nation where laws make the determination, and those laws make the determination based upon the authoritative Word of God. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that multitudes today believe that somehow, some way, that God ought not to come into it. But the Bible says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. That power, the power that be, are ordained of God. In other words, whatever powers, whatever authorities, whatever we see today that we call government is the authority that God has given us. But in that text, ladies and gentlemen, it says very clearly that government is designed for the purpose of protecting the good and prosecuting the evil. But we find it is reverse of that today in society. It is where the Christian church, morals and ethics and values are being demeaned, disintegrated, and disdained and dissed, as the world calls it today, rather than being upheld. And so when we see that, we can say that we're fighting for the soul of America. But for Joe Biden to say, and the Democratic Party to enhance that and say that that Joe Biden is fighting for the soul of America is the farthest thing from the truth that you would find any place in the Word of God. Because all that he's doing and all that he's saying, ladies and gentlemen, with the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, is to disintegrate and to destroy the fundamental foundations of the United States of America. And it is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Word of God, the scripture says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's in Proverbs 29 and verse 2. And we ought to understand that that's the condition that we're in. We're fighting, truly, fighting for the soul of America, but not in the sense that Joe Biden talks about. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, Joe Biden and his proposed administration, have been lying to us for some time. In fact, it's a conspiracy, one writer says, to deceive the electorate. Listen to this. Have you ever witnessed a stranger anomaly in modern political presidential politics than the caravan contempt to the Biden campaign has? The media and the media and social media have shown for American electorate in their disgraceful conspiracy to hide what Joe Biden really believes and intends to do. What bona fide presidential candidate would arrogantly hide in his basement during the heat of a campaign, especially in the last weeks of an ever-tightening presidential race? If the liberal media weren't providing Biden cover, he wouldn't get away with this. If they ever raise the questions about his intentionality and the invisibility of his campaign, the campaign would take a far different look and will be far less surreal. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back. We're talking about today integrity in our election, ?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.